Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Afriwetu World, where we look to celebrate African history, people, and culture by telling our story. As you all are aware, one thing that is very important to Afriwetu is the story of our legends because of their significance to us, how we link back to our roots, and how we understand their impact on our lives today as well as then. So obviously that means that today is our guest narrator show talking about an amazing legend. And how excited am I to have my good friend, Kaima! Recording this story. I'm not going to tell them who the story is. I want you to do the introduction. So before I actually introduce you to Kaima, just wanted to share a few facts about this fabulous friend of mine. So he is an awesome musician, like genius level. That's what people have told me. No, I'm just kidding. I know this as well. He's one of those deep men with my thoughts and insights of life in general. So every time we hang out, I feel like I've been educated by a guru. He's a lover of all music. He's just shaking his head. He's a lover of all music. But I think I can safely say that jazz is more your jam. Yeah. And he can tell us a little bit more about that later. I think he's famous. He's currently on a Kenyan radio music station. He is a lover of history and of authentic stories, it's always such a joy when we hang out. But again, as with all my guests, the most important thing to me is that he's such a supportive friend and who has been cheering me on this Afriwetu journey in the background. He is truly a true gem. And now, Kaima, do you want to say a quick hello to the people before we head into your story?
No, I think you said everything. So it's just too much, too treacly, man. It's too saccharine.
Too sweet.
Yeah, but that's who you are, though.
The funniest thing is how people react.
You know.
You know what I love? I love because none of my guests are ready for when I'm going to introduce them.
No, I'm sure.
Because it's one of those things which I was like, this is also a showcase for me to just, you know, share how amazing my friends are.
Yeah.
That's why I bring you guys on here.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's why. Thanks, Simone. I appreciate it.
Very welcome. So what I'm going to do, this story is actually, this legend is actually from Kenya and Tanzania, and I've already told Kenyan and Tanzanian stories before, so people should go and listen to those episodes to learn more facts about these two amazing countries. So what I want to do is I just want to head straight into it and just hand it over to you to tell the story of this amazing legend.
Well, she's chatting about the Maasai, and it's very interesting when I was reading through it, how Jacob and Esau kind of story that I that I picked. It's very interesting how so many cultures have the same stories, right, in their own way, you know. So it was fun to read that and get into the Maasai and just understand where they came from and the legend of Lenana and, you know, his dad, you know, his brother, and all that stuff. All right, so pretty much, Alaibon is a spiritual Maasai leader who held a special and high place in the hierarchy of the Maasai population. Alaibon's position was not political, but it wielded supreme influence and power through its role as chief medicine man, diviner, and a prophet for the Maasai people. So the Laibon were revered as they were protectors of the people against the ills of the world, warning them of impending disasters and a counsel on all matters due to their wisdom. So in as much as the Laibon, also known as Oloiboni by the Maasai, originated as chief ritual leaders, they later emerged as men exercising political and military authority. As a visionary and head of spiritual matters, the Oloiboni also provided advice to his people, especially on issues of war and peace, based on his ability to tell the future.
Yeah.
One family of legends produced a number of Laibons that ruled Maasai land for close to 100 years. Their story started with that of Kindogoi, who was said to have been found sitting alone and unarmed by two Marans during their hunt. They took him back to their village to keep him safe, all this back in the 15th century. So his legacy is one of the greatest Laibon families and medicine men of the Maasai. The power of prophecy and healing was seen to be inherited generation after generation. So it's from this line that Supit, the great Laibon, who ruled from 1850 to 1866, came from, and from him that he, Supit, passed on the mantle of leadership to his son, the greatest medicine man ever produced in the Maasai nation, after whom the summit of Mount Kenya is named. Batian Ole Supit. So Batian came from Mataparo in Kajiado, and he ruled from 1866 to 1890, and his tenure marked a period of prosperity, tranquility, and seemingly impossible elusive unity among the Maasai subsections. He managed to unite the Ilkisingo, living both in Tanzania and Kenya, with the Ilpuruko living in Narok and Kajiado as well. It's during this time when the Maasai's reputation as fearsome warriors preceded them, and in some quarters they were called the Lords of East Africa. Their terrain covered around 80,000 square miles from the shores of Lake Turkana in northern Kenya to Mount Meru near Arusha in Tanzania. So Batian was married to two wives, and towards the end of 1890, just before his death, he called his most preferred wife and asked her to send her eldest son, Senteu, to his hut to receive medicinal insignia and ritual power to lead the Maasai. It so happened that Batian's other wife, mother of Olanana, had hidden in a nearby cowshed, and she overheard the conversation. She and her son devised a strategy to steal the inheritance. The next morning, she woke her son Olanana and presented him to his aged father, tricking him into thinking that he was Senteu. But Tian's eyesight was failing, so he was not able to recognize him. "Father, I have come," Olanana said. So Olibon Mbatian mistook Olanana, also known as Lanana, for his preferred Senteu. He requested him to come closer and to suck his tongue, as was tradition. Lenana sucked off all the content of this mysterious power and officially received the secrets of his father's craft. Lenana walked out, and a few minutes later, Senteu arrived at his father's hut to Batian's shock and dismay. Batian wisely decided that his brother was too powerful for him, so he blessed Senteu and directed him to go and lead the Iloitai in an attempt to spread the two sons' area of jurisdiction to avoid altercation. In 1890, Batian died and was buried at Oldonyo Orok, currently known as the Namanga Hills. Upon his death, Olonana was proclaimed the principal medicine man, but his rivalry with his brother led to loss of lives and an endless civil war that reduced the Maasai population drastically. It is told that one time Senteu warned the people living in his manyata that he saw Lenana's warriors killing them in a dream. He was not taken seriously. A little while later, though, he woke up and took his wife in the middle of the night and disappeared into the darkness, only for the manyata to be invaded and wiped out by an Olanana battalion. He sought refuge in the Loita Hills. In 1902, Senteu and his Iloitai warriors surrendered. It's believed that at some point in Senteu's life, he migrated to Tanzania at the peak of the civil war with his half-brother. In the early 1900s, Olanana entered into treaty with the foreigners, which saw the Maasai lose more land to the invaders. He had believed that they would be able to assist in warding off his brother, but they deceived him and stole land instead. Eventually, in 1911, the foreigners killed Olanana after incarceration proved futile. You see, they would put him in jail only for him to use his charm and power to escape. They would find Lenana outside the jail the next morning. They finally decided to kill him by giving him a present in form of a poison blanket that killed him in his sleep. On the Tanzanian side, estranged Senteu was equally left weak from the skirmishes with his brother and confrontation with foreigners. To date, how he died is unclear. One of the things that made Batian the greatest Laibon of the Maasai was not just his military prowess or leadership, but his prophecies. He warned his people of the advent of colonization. He told them of an iron snake, the railway, that would split Maasai land into two. He also prophesied to them of the great enemy they would have to fight and lose, the foreign European invaders. Mbatiany also warned his people of the dangers of leaving their homeland as they would succumb to foreign disease. And it came to pass. During the reigns of Olonana, the Maasai people were struck by catastrophic epidemics of smallpox and river pest that led to the loss of thousands of Maasai and the decimation of close to 95% of their cattle. But not all was lost, because on the flip side, in 1963 and 1964, Kenya and Tanzania gained independence and the cruelty of colonization.
Thank you. I, as usual, I'm going to ask the question I ask every guest. What is the favorite part of that story, especially when it comes to not just the Maasai, but that legend, Mbatiany?
I think it's more than just the human nature of the fact that, again, we are all the same, you know?
Yeah.
Humans are all the same, and we all want what we can't get or we can't achieve, and we all go through some crazy ways to get it, and the result of that, of course, is strife and is fighting and all this funk that we see all around us. But again, the fact that that we get to understand the Maasai, and the fact that hey, there's some rich culture with the Maasai, and at least with our Kenyan and more African tribes and everything. It's great to see and great to be reminded of these stories.
That's the thing, actually, because when I was, even just to throw in a few, as you say, a few facts about the Maasai before we start talking about you, is that I think they're a classic example of how artificial our borders are, because you find the Maasai settled in northern Tanzania and southern Kenya. So many people know about the Maasai Mara on the Kenyan side and the Serengeti on the Tanzanian side. But really, Maasai lands go all the way up to Nairobi, all the way further down. Like, it's their scope was wide. And they're the most famous group of people across Africa. Like, in all honesty, everybody knows about the Maasais. They're also very true to their culture and their custom and their dress. You know, they really are. And one thing I really found interesting, especially when doing this story, is that, so for example, when I was finding out about like the Maasai and the religion, so they are monotheistic. So they have a god God is called Engai or Enkai. So it's a god who's mostly benevolent and who manifests himself in the form of different colors. And depending on the colors, depends on what God is feeling at that time. So there's the Enkai Narok, who's the black god, which actually, regardless of how people look at black, is good, beloved, brings grass, prosperity, and is actually the blessings god. And then they have the other god, which is a red god, who's the vengeful and brings famine and hunger and is associated with the dry season. So black god is actually the blessing. So it's also interesting how, when we tell our own stories, how everything turns it around. So it's and that's what I found really fascinating about them. I mean, there are many things fascinating about the Maasai, to be honest, but I just thought, I'm going to just pull that one out. And then also the fact that when we look at cattle, for example, God afforded them all the cattle on earth, which results in the belief that, taking cattle from other communities is not actually taking cattle from other communities, because that cattle belongs to them. It's so righteous. It's like, no, we're just taking back what's ours. God gave us cattle. You have it, you're just, holding it for the time being, but it's really ours. So, I mean, the Maasai are a fascinating people, and not fascinating in terms of, funky little postcards, but like, their culture is so rich, so deep. And And because you are deep, deep man, I thought, this one.
There's no deepness.
Kaima will enjoy this story.
There's no deepness.
So now let's talk a little bit more about you.
Sure.
Yeah, and what it is you do. So I said earlier about, you know, music. Music is one of the things which I know about you.
Sure.
So would you like to expand on that? Or would you like to tell the people a little bit more about you?
Sure. I think music is my heart. It's what I went to school for. And it's what I enjoy. It's pretty much what I can do for free.
I like that. It's like, if you want me to do something for free, this is it.
It's one of those things. As in, it's just a joy to sit on the piano and just jam. And I started when I was a kid, and it just grew and came easy. I decided, instead of being a doctor or a lawyer or anything, luckily I realized that, like, when I was about 18 or 19, I'd be an incredibly mediocre doctor. And there are many guys like that who are just forced into medicine simply, or into whatever craft they are, just simply to make money, you know. And the parents, the society is telling them, hey, this is the way to go. But luckily, my parents were okay with me studying music, and I went to Los Angeles and hung out there for almost 12 years, and studied music, got my master's degree in music as well, came back, and right now, at least. Right now, what I'm doing, I'm pretty much, it was more of a lateral move. I mean, the business of helping people achieve their goals, which is to say, communication, specifically digital marketing. And it's a creative space for me. It's a space that allows me to, just engage with content and create content that captures, that connects, enriches people's lives in the process of just showing them what they need to achieve their goals. So that's a business I'm in, and I love it, and it's fun, and I combine it with music, and just going with the flow, and hustling in this shambalamawe, as he was Swahili, very eloquently remind us every day. there you go.
Shamba la mawe, kweli shamba la mawe.
Yeah. So that's me. That's my story. Yeah. I'm thankful and I'm grateful, like, to be alive, I should say. And just doing life and enjoying every minute of the journey.
And again, thank you so much for doing the narration. You know that this is just the first of many times, because I keep calling you friends back.
That's fine.
To do this.
Yeah, that's all right. Happy to help, Mona. And blessings on you and this thing. And it's incredibly educative.
Thank you.
Keep on doing it.
Thank you.
We'll be behind you all the way.
Thank you. I was going to say, did you want to tell people how to follow you or follow what it is you do? Is there a...
Kaima Mwiti on the socials. That's who I am. You can find me on the interweb, Kaima Mwiti Academy.
So it's, can you just spell it for people? You know, because you've assumed.
It's phonetic. I think we Africans understand phoneticism. So it's KAIMAMWITI. If it was in Europe, it would be very different. In fact, there's one time I was in the States, and they were like, Mwiti. They were like, all right, how do I do that? Oh, you just see me holding a box of Wheaties and then put the M before it. They're like, Mwiti. Oh, yeah. It made total sense for them. Yeah, that made sense.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And so people, please follow Kaima Mwiti. So as he said, KAIMA. MWITI on all the socials. Cindy, it's all of them. All the interwebs.
Yeah, that's where we are. Yeah.
But thank you again so much. I also know that you are a bit time pressed today, so I do appreciate you coming on, telling a story. And I will, as I say, welcome back anytime. Afriwatu, please remember to follow him, as well as check out this episode and share it with your friends. Do you have any parting shots before I wrap it up?
Oh yeah, as in, yeah, you should go bald like us. Come to the bald thing and just cut off your hair and join the bald club, man. This thing of G braids, G farming, G crochet, G what? Cut it all off.
So, Kaima is referring to the fact that I have purple hair right now. Well, actually, no, it's not purple. It's violet-colored hair, which is braided. Yes, it's violet. This is violet, which is like purple. For those of you who don't know, it's like a cross between purple and pink, just to help you. So he's making a comment on that. One day, Kaima, one day yeah. I will all come right. And I will join the bald crew one fine day. But for now, I'll stick to my purple, violet, pink hair.
All right. But
again, thank you everybody for tuning in. And until next time, Mubarikiwe!